Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Fantastic hymn that Martin Luther wrote, and it's a powerful hymn for one who had gone through a lot of difficulties. Martin Luther went through a lot of difficulties during the Reformation, dealing with a lot of adversity internally but also externally, and this is an amazing hymn that he wrote focusing us on our Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate here on Reformation Sunday, pointing back to Jesus. And that's one of the things that Luther and some of the other reformers did, was seek to point people back to Jesus. And there's a really neat, beautiful altarpiece in Wittenberg, Germany. And I got to see it. It was really neat. In Wittenberg, Germany, you walk into the church, and at the front of the church is this altarpiece with different pictures, four different pictures there. And in the bottom center is a picture of someone who's preaching from a pulpit, and he's on the right side. And then on the left side is this congregation of people hearing God's word, and the preacher is pointing to something in the middle of the painting. And he's pointing to Jesus Christ there on the cross. It's an amazing, beautiful picture, and I think it fits well with the Reformation, the message of grace alone, faith alone, and scripture alone, which points to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Martin Luther was one of those people that helped point people to Jesus Christ, and along the way, experienced opposition. Because that's what will happen. As people point to Jesus, there will be opposition. There's a battle going on, a cosmic battle. And yet the word of the Lord continues to go forward. People throughout biblical history have been pointing to Jesus Christ, starting with the prophets who were pointing toward the one who would come, pointing to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would come to redeem the world. And these faithful prophets experienced opposition, but they kept going in the middle of the opposition, pointing forward to an amazing message of redemption and salvation. And in our reading from the gospel today, we hear about a guy that a lot of us are familiar with named John the Baptist. John the Baptist was an interesting fellow who was a bold fellow called to proclaim the coming of the Messiah Jesus. The last prophet to come 400 years earlier was Malachi. Malachi, who prophesied, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Then John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he preaches a bold message of repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But as you can imagine, as John is speaking the truth of the word of God, there are people that don't like him. There are the Pharisees that don't like that he calls them a brood of vipers. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He also isn't liked by one of the rulers, Herod, who is messing around. And John calls him out on that. And so John finds himself in trouble. John, who was proclaiming the word of God, got himself into some trouble, some opposition. And yet he is the bold one who, when he sees Jesus coming at the Jordan River, you remember those words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist pointing to Jesus, even though along the way in proclaiming God's word, he would face opposition. Along the way throughout biblical history, you will see God's people being opposed. Even Jesus himself faced opposition as he lived that perfect life that you and I could not live, as he headed to the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And even Jesus' disciples, as they were told to go out into all the world and proclaim the gospel, they experienced opposition as well. And yet they faithfully continued pointing people to Jesus Christ. And on this Reformation Day, we celebrate the message of Jesus Christ. And we look at a guy named Martin Luther who pointed to Jesus in the midst of opposition. Some of you might recall that Martin Luther was born in November of 1483, during a difficult time in biblical, or not biblical, but church history. During a time when the gospel of Jesus Christ had been obscured, when unfortunately Jesus had been moved away from the center and in some respects pushed off to the side. And people at this time were thinking that somehow they could by their own works climb the ladder to please God. And so some people thought, well, if you become a monk or a nun, that's going to put you at a higher level than the average person. Martin Luther was born into a family, a middle-class family. Hans and Margaret Luther were his parents. And Luther was slated to go off to law school and have a successful career. That's what his father wanted. But Luther was dealing with some spiritual turmoil. He was stirred up inside. He was dealing with a lot of guilt. And at one point, he decided to enter into the monastery to become a monk. And not just any monk, he went into the Augustinian order of the Black Cloister, which is kind of like the special forces of monks. And he went into the monks of the monks. I mean, he was hardcore, and Luther was at the top of his class, so to speak. Luther did everything in his power to try to appease God, to try to make God pleased with him. Luther would sometimes go without food, or he would go without blankets in the freezing cold to try to punish his body so that he could be righteous and holy. He would take a whip and he would whip himself, trying to push back the thoughts that were inside his mind. And when he would go and confess his sins, it got to the point where his confessor would say, "Luther, why don't you go out and commit some real sins and come back when you have something to confess?" Luther got to the point where every little thing that he could think of, he would confess. But thankfully, in the middle of being a monk, he had someone who said, "Look to Jesus. Martin, look to Jesus. Look to the cross." And those little seeds were planted. And along the way, Luther began a realization. It was a journey. It didn't happen right away, but pretty soon he began to discover the amazing message of the gospel. And as a result, at some point, he would experience some opposition. You see, as Luther was beginning to make some discoveries, around the same time, the Pope had need of some building projects, and so he was going to sell what we call indulgences. Indulgences were little pieces of paper that basically said, you buy this piece of paper and you can have some of your time from purgatory wiped out. If you buy one of these, then your relative can spring out of purgatory into heaven. John Tetzel was the famous indulgence salesperson, and he said these words. This was his catchphrase: "When the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs." Luther got wind of this. And as Luther was studying the scriptures and beginning to learn more and more about the scriptures, he also was hearing some of this stuff going on in the church, and he said, something's not right. Something's not adding up. What's going on? And that's what leads us to the famous, what we call the 95 theses or statements, which Luther posted in 1517. Luther posted these theses on October 31st, 1517. We know October 31st is Halloween. In Luther's day, All Hallows Eve, it was the day before All Saints' Day, and these statements were posted on the door. And you know why they were posted? Well, they were posted for theological debate. Kind of like nowadays, people will post stuff on Facebook, and pretty soon, everybody adds their comments to the Facebook feed. Maybe you've been there. Luther wanted to debate some of these things, including indulgences. So he wrote up 95 statements saying, there's a problem here. We need to talk about this. His goal was to talk with fellow theologians. It was written in Latin. But as we know, social media, pretty soon it spread like wildfire as people took the 95 theses, translated them into German, and they were printed on the technology of the day, the printing press that Mr. Gutenberg invented. And pretty soon word got out all over, and everything was abuzz. And pretty soon there was this stirring all over. Well, as you can imagine, the powers that be weren't really pleased about Luther questioning these teachings of the church. And so what took place eventually was what we call the Diet of Worms. And no, it's not a new fad diet. It's basically a group that got together to discuss Luther's heretical writings. I want to back up for just a moment, though. 2 years after 1517, when Luther posted the 95 theses, he came to a light bulb moment. A light bulb moment, what we call Luther's tower experience. We believe that Luther was there up in his study, studying the scripture, studying from Romans chapter 1, when he had this amazing light bulb moment where he came to understand the grace of Jesus Christ, that it was all about what God was doing for us, that it was God coming to us to save us, not based on our goodness or our good works. As he was reading from Romans chapter 1:17, which says, "The just shall live by faith," Luther came to realize that this faith was a gift from God. He says about this discovery, "All at once I felt that I had been born again and entered into paradise itself through open gates. Immediately I saw the whole of Scripture in a different light." And then he saw, aha, the people of God are made holy because of the faith given to them. It's all about what God has been doing in their life. And for Luther, it was a most amazing moment. And he wanted to share this. Luther was writing all these different documents, and then that leads us to 1521. A year after he was given a document saying, "Look, buddy, you better stop doing what you're doing." Well, he didn't do that. So in 1521, he goes to what we call the Diet of Worms, a gathering where his books and everything were laid out, and he was told, "Look, you gotta renounce these things. If you renounce these things, we'll forgive you, and we can go on with life as usual." But as Luther began looking at the things that he wrote, he realized that some of these things, there's no way that he could turn back now from this new discovery of the grace of Christ. And he asked for time. He said, "Okay, let me think about this." The next day, they came back and they asked, "Luther, what are you going to do? Are you going to renounce these writings that you have written?" And Luther, after much prayer and consideration, he says these words, "I cannot and will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." Well, after that, Luther was excommunicated from the church, and there was a bounty. He was basically considered an outlaw, and people would have killed him if his friends had not taken him off to the Wartburg Castle, the fortress where he resided, and probably where he wrote that amazing hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." During that time, Luther translated the Bible into the common language of the people, into German, and by doing so, allowed people to be pointed to the message of Jesus Christ. And throughout Luther's life, he experienced adversity and struggles, but along the way, he kept pointing people to Jesus Christ, pointing them to the message of the Savior, pointing them to the message of grace alone. He did so by translating the scriptures. He did so in some of the things that he wrote, such as the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress." Listen to these words. "With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected, but for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever." And he wanted the youth to understand the scriptures. He wanted the youth to be able to be pointed to Jesus Christ. And that's why he wrote what we call the Small Catechism, an instruction book so that the young people would be trained by their parents, so that people would be able to be pointed to the truths of Scripture, would point them to their Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank God for people like Luther and others who took a bold stand in the middle of opposition to point people back to Jesus. He was not the first, nor will he be the last. In the 1300s, there was a guy by the name of John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, who said these words, "Trust wholly, trust solely in Jesus Christ. Rely altogether on his sufferings. Beware of seeking to be justified in any other way than by his righteousness. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for salvation." And as we are here today, we are part of a legacy of God's word being proclaimed, part of a legacy of being pointed to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for you, to die for you, to take all your sins and all the things that you deserved upon himself, so that you would be forgiven, so that when God looks at you, he sees you as one who is declared holy and righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have in that, I told you about the altarpiece in Wittenberg. In the center at the bottom is Luther pointing to Jesus. Well, in the other parts of this altarpiece are several things which also point to Jesus Christ. On the left side of this altarpiece is this beautiful painting of a pastor who is baptizing someone. And we see the wonderful gift of baptism which God gives. Baptism is not something that you and I do for God. It's not something we do for God, but rather something that God does for you. That you are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That you are declared to be a child of God, as Romans 6 says, buried and raised with Christ in baptism. On the right side of the picture would be another wonderful thing where there is someone who is proclaiming the words of forgiveness to someone else. Earlier today in the service, we had what we call confession and absolution. And basically what it is, it's an opportunity for us to be reminded and to acknowledge that apart from Jesus Christ, we are nothing, that we can do nothing, that we cannot save ourselves, and we plead for God's mercy. And I have the privilege of reminding you of the grace of Jesus Christ, of declaring on behalf of the Lord that you are forgiven. Why? Not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ, that you are forgiven. In the center of this altarpiece is then people gathered around the Lord's Supper. And again, the Lord's Supper is not something that you and I do for God, but rather something that is given to us. Given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of your faith. And so we see this altarpiece pointing to what Jesus is doing. And again at the bottom is that picture of Luther pointing to Jesus there in the center. You are part of a legacy. And I believe that the Lord is going to continue to raise up different individuals to proclaim that message publicly. But also we, whatever vocation that you have been given, have the opportunity to name the name of Jesus Christ and to point to him. And as that happens, as you and I point to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, the world will change. There will be the kingdom of God that is spread as God's word is spread, and hearts and lives will be transformed with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even though you may face opposition, even though there will be opposition in the world, remember that the word of the Lord endures forever. Remember that nothing will get in the way of God's word being spread. Ultimately, God's word will prevail. As our hymn that we'll sing at the end of our service says, though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed, that is the church, by schism rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. The word of God will continue, and the time will come when Christ will come back, and we will see him face to face. But for now, may we continue the legacy of pointing to Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.